Thanks for joining us for the weekend edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth, Pastor J.D. gives a Mideast prophecy update from an Arab perspective as he connects the dots of current events geopolitically with last day's prophecies biblically. It is our belief that the next event on God's prophetic clock is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that these Bible prophecy updates will not only ready you and steady you for His return, but that they will also encourage you to share the gospel with others in order that the rapture will not be as a thief in the night. Today, Pastor J.D. clarifies his position on his support for President Donald Trump. To the extent that President Donald Trump supports biblical precepts, including the support of the nation of Israel, Pastor J.D. unequivocally supports our president. That said, there have been some recent statements made by our president that are in direct opposition to the truths of God's Word. Now, don't forget to stay with us after today's prophecy update to learn how you can become a Facebook friend or watch the weekly prophecy update on YouTube. Now, here's Pastor J.D. with today's prophecy update as shared on May 28th, 2017.
So, before we get to our prophecy update today, I need to first address a matter of concern related to the online fighting that's taken place since my prophecy update last Sunday. Many of you may not be aware of this. I know many in our online church are, but Amir Sarfati and I have differing perspectives on President Trump's speech in Saudi Arabia. Sunday morning, Hawaii time. And sadly, this has caused some to create confusion and division with accusatory comments and very hurtful statements that really caused a lot of division. So much so that on Thursday, when Amir returned home to Israel after a speaking schedule in Italy, France, and the Netherlands, now he's doing a young adults tour in Israel, which is so cool. He immediately called me. This was late at night in Israel, and it was morning here in Hawaii, and we talked for an hour and a half. And in that time, we composed a joint statement from the both of us, and subsequently, we posted it on social media. And if you don't mind, I want to just quickly share with you that statement. It will dovetail into what I want to talk about for today's prophecy update. We are deeply saddened to see the confusion and the conflict on social media concerning the differing perspectives related to President Trump's speech in Saudi Arabia. We are most disturbed by the accusations causing division online. Please know that the both of us have an unbreakable bond and will never allow the enemy who is attacking in the spiritual realm to sever that love for and relationship we have with each other. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first part of verse 24 says, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle." Let me just say parenthetically that the enemy hates the relationship and the friendship that my Jewish brother Amir and I have as his Arab brother in Christ. And I can assure you that we are resolute in our commitment one to the other. And the enemy will not prevail in bringing division or discord into that relationship. This is my brother, and I love him very much, and I know he loves me very much as well. So, let's get to our prophecy update. It's in light of this that I, after praying and fasting, sensed that it would be incumbent upon me to do that which I did not do last Sunday, and that is to take the time today to really expound on and pick up where we left off regarding last week's speech by the president in Saudi Arabia and his trip, really, which one dubbed a religious pilgrimage. I hope you understand that there was much that I did like about the president's speech in Saudi Arabia. However, I am concerned about the implications of his speech and perhaps more importantly, where I am concerned this might all be heading. And I'm hoping you'll hear me out, and I would just kindly and humbly ask that you give me the opportunity and allow me to expound on the specifics of those concerns. And again, I maybe should have, in retrospect, taken the time last week to do this, so at least we'll take the time today to do it. Please permit me to preface this by answering some questions that I think will be germane to a better understanding. First, I voted for Trump. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, and if you'll remember, prior to the election, I did a prophecy update on the importance of who is elected president. And I was very clear in communicating that as a Christian, it's virtually impossible to vote for somebody who does not support pro-Christian and pro-Israel policies. I cannot vote for somebody that believes that you can take the life of a baby from that mother's womb. I cannot vote for somebody like that. I cannot vote for somebody that is against Israel. That's Genesis 12. I cannot vote for that person. That's why I could not vote for Hillary Clinton. I voted for President Trump, and I am so grateful that he was elected president. And I support the president in as much as he is supportive of both pro-Christian and pro-Israel policies. To the question of should we pray for our president? Absolutely yes. We're exhorted to do this by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, presidents, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. To the question of whether or not God had raised up President Trump for such a time as this, I absolutely believe that. Well, what are you saying? Well, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, we're told that it's God who removes kings and raises up kings. Make no mistake about it. It was God who allowed Donald Trump to be elected president of the United States of America last November. Romans 13, verse 1 tells us that there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Proverbs 21, verse 1 takes it further, says the king's heart, can I say the president's heart, is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. In other words, decisions that are made, policies that are implemented, God directs them, and ultimately, in the end, they fulfill his purpose and his plan. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying that God allowed Barack Obama to become president? Yes. Do you actually think that when he was elected the first time in 2008, that God was in heaven going, what just happened? Really? It's with this preface that I'd like to now draw your attention to two of the actual quotes from the president in Saudi Arabia that are concerning. And I, again, if you'll hear me out, I want to explain and expound on why. Here's the first quote from the president. Saudi Arabia is home to the holiest sites in one of the world's great faiths. The difficulty I'm having personally with this is that Islam is not a great faith. Islam is a false satanic religion. And Muhammad is a false prophet. So I have a problem with a statement like that from the President of the United States. It's this second quote that's particularly disturbing to me by virtue of its implications. Quoting the President, I will travel to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and then to the Vatican, visiting many of the holiest places in the three Abrahamic faiths. If these three faiths can join together, speaking of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, if these three Abrahamic faiths, in its context, can join together in cooperation, then peace in this world is possible, including peace between Israelis and Palestinians. I will be meeting with both Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Okay. Here's the problem. These three Abrahamic faiths cannot join together in cooperation for peace. This for three reasons. The first of which is that cooperation means that they cooperate. And that's more specific than coexist. Just because something coexists doesn't mean it's cooperating. It's not operating in tandem, in concert, one with the other. Pastor, are you being too picky? I don't think so. Are you being too hard on the president? He's not a pastor, you know. He's not a theologian. I understand. But to suggest that the three Abrahamic faiths can cooperate together is to imply that all three Abrahamic faiths are compatible with each other, and they are not. This is profane. What do you mean? Well, profane means to make common. And it's profane in the sense that it reduces Jesus the Christ, the name of Jesus given among men whereby we must be saved, the only name. And you reduce Jesus and make him common. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am, key word, the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot get to the Father through Muhammad. And oh, by the way, you cannot get to the Father by way of Judaism. Jesus is the only way, the only one, if you please, of the three so-called Abrahamic faiths that we can get to the Father. That's profane, and to me it's even blasphemous. You'll forgive me. This brings me to the second reason I'm concerned with this joining together, cooperating together of said three Abrahamic faiths. suggesting three Abrahamic faiths can join together, cooperate together, essentially legitimizes Islam's illegitimate claim to the true holy land of Israel. Wow, how do you get there? Well, allow me to explain. When I was a child, growing up, I was led to believe that by virtue of the fact that I was a descendant of Ishmael, my father was an Egyptian, and so there was this connecting of the genetic dots to Ishmael, and because I, as an Arab, was a descendant of Ishmael, the Jews' claim to the land was illegitimate. And as such, the Jews were the occupiers. And I was taught that growing up, even after I was saved. I remember my very first time I went to Israel, and I told my cousin, I said, this is on the mainland many, many years ago. I said, hey, this is back in the 90s. I said, hey, I went to Israel. And he looked at me with a look of horror on his face. As if I had just, you know, what I said was anathema. And he said, Palestine. Palestine. To which I responded, no. Israel. Israel. Please stay with me. It's important to understand that in the Middle East, they have the Islamic holiday of Eid al-Adha. What's Eid al-Adha? It's the celebration of the great feast of sacrifice. You know what they're celebrating? According to Islam, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son by Hagar, Ishmael. And not his son Isaac from Sarah. If you talk to any knowledgeable Muslim today, they will hang their anti-Israel hat on Ishmael under the banner of the three Abrahamic faiths. They don't want to talk about Jacob, Jacob, Israel. They want to take you back to Abraham because it gives them license to lay their illegitimate claim by way of Abraham to the land that they see and say the Jews are occupying. This is why any reference to the three Abrahamic faiths is problematic. Am I being hypersensitive? Maybe. Maybe. Simply put, it gives the Muslim an anti-Israel license when you couch it in those terms, as subtle as they may seem. The third reason that I'm personally concerned with this notion of the cooperating together of the three Abrahamic faiths is it gets too dangerously close to a blasphemous implication. Again, please just hear me out. In all fairness to the president, though he didn't state this, he did perhaps unknowingly imply that we all worship the same God. And again, if you'll hear me out, I'll explain how I get there. When I was a child, my mother used to pronounce an Arabic blessing on me. In Arabic, it was Bism Allah Alek. In English, that means the name of Allah, Allah be upon you. My mom had done this in an innocent naivete. She grew up. I mean, if you get an Arabic Bible today, the word in Arabic for God is Allah. Allah. As in the title of God. And by the way, this I don't want to get too far off of this on this, but in Numbers 6, you have the Aaronic blessing where Moses is commanded to have Aaron pronounce this blessing on the children of Israel every time they would meet at the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And every time the Israelites would go to the tabernacle, Aaron would pronounce the blessing of the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance to you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. And then after the Aaronic blessing, it says this, and I will put my name on them. My name. And oh, by the way, you might recall from prior prophecy updates that God put literally his name on Jerusalem. His name of ownership is on his people and on his city, Jerusalem. His name. Now, why do you go into all of that? Because it's about the name. Allah is the name of the false god of Islam, the moon god. Please, I beg you, do not make synonymous Allah with Jehovah. They are not the same. Oh, Pastor, it's really subtle though. Well, aren't we to be more discerning? I hope I don't give anybody a flashback here. You remember this group Queen and that song Bohemian Rhapsody? I won't sing it. That would be torture. I won't do that. But can I just share with you some of the words to this song? Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go? Bismillah. No, we will not let you go. Let him go. Sorry. I could just hear that high-pitched, you know, tone. Let him go. We will not let you go. Let him go. We will not let him go. Sorry. That's bad. I know. Said I wouldn't do that. Let him go. Bismillah. We will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah. We will not let you go. Let me go. We will not let you go. Let me go. We will not let you go. Let me go. No. Oh, mamma mia. Let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.
Are you ready? If not, you need to be ready because our redemption draws nigh. This is what Jesus said about seeing these prophecies begin to come to pass in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. This verse speaks directly to the heart of the prophecy update that Pastor JD shares each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth. The goal for each prophecy update is twofold. First, to equip you with information you need to live in these exciting last days. Second, to encourage you in your faith in the Creator of the universe. Every word in the Holy Bible is 100% true. We're seeing that fact being proven each and every day. We pray that you have been both blessed and challenged by today's prophecy update. And we do hope you join us again for tomorrow's conclusion to this prophecy update from Pastor JD. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, you can become a Facebook friend with us by logging on to www.inspiritandtruthradio.com. We've provided a link to our Facebook page. Another great option to stay current with Pastor JD's prophecy updates is to subscribe to the Aloha Bible Prophecy Update YouTube channel. The Prophecy Update YouTube channel has all the current updates that Pastor JD has shared, as well as an archive of past updates. Again, log on to InspiritAndTruthRadio.com and follow the link to the Prophecy Update YouTube channel. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please join us tomorrow as Pastor JD concludes this Prophecy Update. That's next time on In Spirit and Truth.